meeting in order. The meeting is, St. Paul, order, welcome to the meeting of the Acton Affairs, Student Affairs, and Personnel Committee. Can we please call the roll?
Trustee Rita Athus. Trustee Dennis Brascina.
Here.
Vice Chair John Butler.
Here.
Committee Chair Montel Gales.
Here.
Trustee Veronica Herrero. Trustee Tim Moore.
Here.
Board Chair Eric Wasserman.
Here.
Mr. Perry, will you please verify that we have a quorum and that the appropriate notice of this meeting has been posted?
Morning, Mr. Chair. You do have a quorum present, and appropriate notice has been provided pursuant to the Illinois Open Meetings Act.
Thank you. Thank you for the notice of the quorum. You know, I'm going to admit here that there is a portion in my presentation where I recognize Trustee Athus, and I just wanted to say she's not going to be here today, but let's keep our thoughts and prayers on her health and her quick recovery. May I have a motion to approve the agenda for today's meeting?
So moved. Second.
Thank you. Thank you. Is there any discussion? All in favor of adopting the agenda as specified, please say aye.
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 Any opposition? Any abstentions? The motion carries. May I have a motion to approve the minutes of the meeting of May 11th, 2023?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor of adopting the agenda as specified, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposition? Any abstentions? Motion carries. My comments. I would like to welcome everyone here today to our August meeting of the Academic Affairs, Student Affairs, and Personnel Committee meeting. This is an exciting time of the year at Northern Illinois University and really across the country, because I've been traveling my tail off getting people in school. This is an exciting time. New students started moving into the university housing yesterday, and returning students will move in over the weekend. You can feel the energy and the excitement and some nervousness too. The faculty and the staff at NIU are all set to help our students start off the year right. Week of Welcome features many activities to introduce students to the campus, from finding their classrooms to taking care of themselves and finding new friends. Student Affairs and our cultural resource centers continue to find ways to engage students to create a sense of belonging. I want to thank all the volunteers that make these activities possible. Now on Monday, classes begin. Our students will see more upgrades to our classrooms and new technology and furniture in the effort to support innovative ways to teach. We all look forward to seeing a lively campus as students go to class, check out the library, and unwind in the Holmes Student Center. The Center for Innovative Teaching and Learning has several exciting programs planned, including a week of engagement toolkit to promote active engagement strategies for the first week of class and throughout the semester. All of these efforts contribute to the university's goal of reducing equity gaps, removing barriers to student success, and to improve outcomes for all students. I want to thank all the faculty, the staff, and administrators who have prepared our campus with the success, health, and safety of our students in mind. Today, we have four informational items to consider. First is the use of the executive search firm to find the next dean of the College of Business, followed by the annual list of academic changes, and third, to recognize the contributions of 19 faculty who retired in the last fiscal year. These faculty form the backbone of what we do at NIU, educate the future leaders of Illinois, our country, and the world. I want to thank them for their years of service and their dedication to our students and their disciplines. Our final informational item is a presentation from Vice President of Student Affairs, Clint Michael Renew, on the work dedicated to engagement of NIU students, student retention, the Greek Life Revitalization Project, and the Braven First Year Program. Before we go into the agenda, I want to welcome the University Advisory Committee representatives present today. The current UAC representatives are Felicia Bohannon, Ben Creed, Brad Kripe, Katie Jenkel, Natasha Johnson, and Karen Wedeby. Do any of you have any comments for the board, other than the weather?
Well, no. Thank you so much.
The University Advisory Council would like to echo the statements of how wonderful it's been to see the true Husky spirit. I was assisting with move-in yesterday, and everybody from upper administration to students sweating together and thinking about life choices is a real illustration of our Husky spirit. We are grateful for all of the faculty, staff, and students, and the week of welcome illustrating that we are an inclusive and welcoming place. And thankful for our faculty who are quickly finishing our syllabi that are totally done and ready to go.
Fantastic.
So we are grateful. Thank you.
Thanks for those comments. Anyone else? Thank you again. Thank you again. Mrs. Perry, have any members of the public registered a written request to address the board in accordance with state law and Board of Trustees bylaws?
Mr. Chair, we do not have public comment this morning.
Thank you. Thank you. I'd like to invite Interim Executive Vice President and Provost Lori Illich Piper to present the university report.
Thank you, Trustee Gales. I want to reiterate your excitement about the start of the semester. There is such energy on campus as our students and faculty return and we get ready for the best semester ever. The week of welcome is underway, and we have an enhanced set of activities this year to engage our students and make sure that they're connected not only to campus but to one another. Just today, we have a campus resource fair, a library scavenger hunt, the campus activity board block party, the Jewel Jamboree, the list goes on and on. Makes me wish I was a student here at NIU.
I was thinking the same thing.
We also welcomed 25 new faculty members this week to campus, as well as 8 new administrators. And we're working hard to support them to start as they start their academic careers here at NIU. Over the summer, our Center for Innovative Teaching and Learning has worked with 22 faculty members on curricular innovation grants, and many of those innovations are going to be launched this fall in courses. And so we're very excited to see the impact that that will have and its contribution to the university goal of addressing and enhancing curricular innovation. In addition to that, we're excited for the continued work that Academic Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion is doing to collaboratively implement the Faculty Academy on Cultural Competence and Equity, we refer to that as FACE, F-A-C-C-E, FACE, sessions for faculty and staff, as well as the initiative with the Association of College and University Educators, or ACUE, micro-credentials focused on effective teaching practices and inclusive teaching for equitable learning. All of these efforts contribute to our university goal for reducing equity gaps, removing barriers to student success, and improving outcomes for all of our students. Today we have 4 informational items. The first item, 7A, it pertains to the use of search firms for administrative searches. Dean Balaji Rajagopalan accepted a position at another university effective July 6, 2023. Denise Shane-Bockler was appointed the interim dean of the College of Business for the academic year 2023-24. And due to the critical role and function of this position, NIU will seek the services of a search firm to assist in the development of a diverse and experienced pool of candidates. Item 7B is the annual listing of changes for fiscal year 23. During that time frame, NIU created 2 programs, 7 certificates, 2 minors, 9 emphases, and 4 specializations. In addition, 6 programs, 1 certificate, 8 specializations, and 2 emphases were deleted. Because there's a lot of technical language in there, just as a reminder, a degree program is a major, a certificate is a credential that requires fewer hours than a major, an emphasis is a subdivision in an undergraduate major, a specialization is a subdivision in a graduate degree, and an option designates a choice available in a particular program, such as the choice between a thesis or a non-thesis plan of study. Also approved were 10 name changes and 1 program relocation. The details are all listed in the board book, and these changes were reported to the IBHE in August. Item 7C recognizes the faculty that have been granted emeritus status for fiscal year 24. This item is a bit bittersweet. 19 of these faculty members on the list have dedicated their academic careers and lives here at NIU, contributing to research, to teaching, to engagement, to service. We're so proud of their contributions to our faculty, to our other faculty, to our students, and to NIU more broadly.
Can we stop right there?
Sure.
And give them a round
Absolutely.
Of applause?
Absolutely. And their names are all listed in the board book as well. And item 7D will be a presentation by Vice President for Student Affairs, Clint Michael Renault. And the presentation will focus on the dedicated work that they're doing to engage our students, to improve retention, to lead the revitalization of Greek life, and to implement the Braven First Year program. So, Clint Michael? Yep, we're ready.
That was your cue. That was the.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Is the PowerPoint? Yep. It's an absolute pleasure to be with you. I'm grateful beyond belief. I'm excited. I have to tell you, I am the only vice president with the word student in their title, and I take that with such a great honor and such great responsibility for this work. So I'm deeply grateful to be here and serve in this role. What I can tell you about student affairs is that I believe we create a culture of care in student affairs. And I believe that in student affairs, that what I've learned throughout my leadership journey and throughout my work in student affairs is that all people the world over have one thing in common. And they're seeking validation. Everyone wants to be validated in some form or another. And in spite of all of our differences, we all have three things in common as well. We all want to know, do you hear me? Do you see me? And does what I say matter? Do you hear me? Do you see me? And does what I say matter? And so thinking about working with our students and helping them through the complexities of their college career, whether it's a issue in a classroom, or a roommate conflict, or trying to figure out who they are, it all comes down to wanting to be seen, to be heard, and to know that they matter. And that is why I'm so deeply grateful for the work in student affairs. I believe that student affairs is responsible for taking people's imagined hopes and turning them into lived realities. And together with our partners on this campus, we are responsible, and I believe that we are architects of hope. And so I'm very grateful for that work. Next slide, please. So when we're talking about the university goals and the role that student affairs plays in that work, we have the real opportunity to, I heard this quote earlier this year in a spoken word piece. I love spoken word. You don't have to worry, I'm not gonna perform for you. I'm not a performer, but I love spoken word. And the quote, and I've said it's going to be our mantra for the division, I'm going to get it on t-shirts, I want students to know it, possibility is as wide as the space we create to hold it. And I think that is so true of what we do here at NIU. We have amazing possibilities, and we have the ability to think about how we create the width of the space in which we hold it, and that's exciting. We in student affairs work to provide engagement opportunities where students learn that they've got this and we've got them. When we look at these goals, our university president has empowered each of her vice presidents to think really critically and carefully about how we serve these goals. And so when I look at that word around making our goal around an equitable and engaging experience, that means something. And that means we have to be about the business of getting this work done and seeing ourselves. When we look at the goal around enrollment and student success, we are all in the business of student success. And so that's exciting, and it's exciting to see how we define ourselves in that work. It has nothing, what I will tell you about student affairs is no one gets there alone. And so we don't work in silos. We could not do the work without having great partnerships with our president's office, without our colleagues in academic affairs, our colleagues in outreach, our colleagues in academic diversity, equity and inclusion, athletics, enrollment management. We all do this work together, shoulder to shoulder. Next slide, please. So just to give you a little framework of what we do and who we are in student affairs, we have multiple departments. We have that range from dining services to student conduct. Housing, you mentioned housing earlier. We are at capacity. We are at full capacity in housing, which is a great thing. Many of our colleagues in the state, the residence halls are not full. But we have, and we have significant numbers of returners wanting to come to housing this year, which speaks well about the work that we're doing on this campus and in terms of our retention initiatives. We also have our counseling and consultation services. For example, we had 2,000 appointments with counseling and consultation services. 60% of those were students who identified as a student of color. We had 39% first generation, 31% were our transfer students. And so we know that we are intentional about how we serve. In our dining program last year, we have a program where we invited students to create and provide space for family recipes. And what we did was we invited them to bring in the family recipes. When we selected the recipes, we would create a theme night. And we partnered with our colleagues in our college, our Health and Human Performance College, our Health and Human Services, Health and Sciences, sorry about that. Sorry. And so we had, but we partnered with them, and then we invited the students to join us in a nutrition lab. So we invited faculty to come in. We had a nutrition lab about the nutritional value, and then we partnered with our community gardens here in NIU, sourced the food in, and those events had, one of those events had 850 students attend. We had the faculty attend, we had the students in the program attend, and one of the coolest thing was, I remember a student FaceTime her mother and grandmother in India. They were in tears because the student had the recipe, we post the recipes, and the student was FaceTiming the family in that moment, letting them see that their recipes were being created for 850 students. We also have in our student conduct, we know that this has to be educational. Our work has to be educational. So we've incorporated into our code of conduct restorative justice circles to engage in the fact that this has to be about community. We have to be engaged in courageous conversations, and we have to do that work. And so we've engaged in restorative justice circles with our individual conduct cases and with organizations who have been through the conduct process as well. And then we had, and back to counseling, we have a full-time therapy dog that is with our counseling department, and we had over 250 students engage in either group or individual sessions with our therapy animal last year. So that was exciting. So just to give you an idea, we cover a large scale of offices, disability services, fraternity and sorority life, student government, our student involvement with clubs and organizations. We have over 300 organizations on campus for students to belong to. And I'll get more into detail about our Center for Student Assistance in just a minute. What we know, next slide please. What we know is that with regard to student engagement, we have the responsibility to think about how we engage our leaders on this campus to have voice and to have agency. And so we teach our students, and we're created a, one of the initiatives I wanted to do was we, you know, with 300 clubs and organizations, students become leaders. They have given the title of president, vice president, treasurer. But the reality is we needed to do a better job about training folks about what it means to be a leader, how to lead, and what are the responsibilities that come with leadership. And so this year we've created a program around leadership development that teaches students with a theme of utilizing fact-based optimism, which will prepare them for the world beyond NIU, and which allows them to define reality for those that they lead, while always providing hope for the teams in which they serve on. And so during the summer, before a few weeks ago, before school, all of this happened, we had over 400 students come in on their time to engage in this leadership conference. And then we have scheduled monthly sessions that will be for all student leadership that will center on topics around civility, civic engagement, having courageous conversations so that we're not just trying to cancel each other out or looking at the polarization of I'm right, you're wrong, and trying to shut things down, but how to sit in those difficult conversations. We also are excited about the fact that we have so many students wanting to engage in leadership in meaningful ways and how we're trying to really approach leadership from an intentional point. One of the things, next slide please. And those actually, and that though the leadership engagement piece goes directly back to our university goals with the engagement and the sense of belonging. When we think about engagement, I want to share with you, so Trustee Gels, our Provost Elish Piper, talked about Week of Welcome. And what we know is that in order to, retention and matriculation starts the minute a student receives their acceptance letter. So when Vice President Jensen sends out his letter and his team work on doing that. We know that that is the beginning because you have one time to get your impression right and to help students understand. And so we know that our responsibility in this work is to help students identify, create their identity as a scholar and as a Husky. And we take those two things very seriously, about helping to support the academic colleges with programs and get students geared towards their identity within that college as a scholar, and their identity on the greater campus of what it means to be a Husky and what those values mean and how to espouse those values. So with the week of welcome, as we were mentioning, that is a time when we are all in the business of student retention. That is in the time when we are all responsible for showing up, and I believe that there is power in presence. And I have to tell you, presence has been seen already on day one. We had over 500 student volunteers yesterday, many of whom were from Greek life and athletics, like our student trustee, Tim Moore, who went to the residence halls. We see that, you know, I had the great pleasure of being out in the halls with the president. She was straight out to the cars introducing, "Hi, how are you? I'm the president. We're the students." You know, so it was like this aha moment, like, oh, wow, the president's sitting here with a box. Yes, this is what it's about. And so teaching, and I can't tell you the number of times I gave my number out yesterday. I already had a student who called me three times last night talking about how do I find my schedule, where is guidebook, how do I get to this, that. But that's what it is. And I always tell my team, you look for the students that are standing alone. You always look for the students that are standing by themselves. And so with this work, if you look at numbers last year from our week of welcome, we had an event at the Home Student Center. Our executive director, Jen Manning, and her team have done a phenomenal job. Every room in that center had an event happening in it, every room. And so students go from room to room. We had 1,500 students attend that event. We had over 900 students at our block party, 1,300 students at our involvement fair. So you see the numbers are happening. Tonight, Vice President Jensen and I and some of our other leadership will be at the Jewel Osco Jamboree. We have a grocery store in town that wants to help provide students with, they just really help them fill up on with bags of food and things that they may need for campus. We had over 700 students that we busted that last year. And so the energy is palpable. You can feel it, and it's exciting. We had the Campus Peters Life open house yesterday. Over 350 students and families. That was the exciting part. We had so many families in that space with their student yesterday, seeing about the resources, learning about the resources. I shared briefly with a moment, we had a mother who was having a hard time saying goodbye. The student was having a hard time as well. Just a few. And we had our therapy dog. Right. We had our therapy dog, Chase, from the counseling center out at the open house yesterday. What we didn't know, we thought it would be cute for them to just take pictures and hang out. What we didn't know was actually going to turn into a little session with the mom, the dad, and the student. And so they sat, and the mom was really, the dog curled up in her lap, and it was really useful. We had over 500 excited Huskies last night at our Campfire Connections by our residence hall. And so we created many campfires throughout the space, had s'mores, and it was exciting. So we're glad for that experience. Next slide, please. What we know is that engagement, we know that students, in order to persist, need to see themselves in this space. They need to feel connected, they need to have a sense of belonging, and they need to know they matter. And so time and again, we saw, with the numbers don't lie, we saw students, we had 850 families register for Family Weekend. We had over 2,000 students participate in we had our 115th homecoming last year, the oldest one in the state, I will tell you. Chief Strategist Streb will tell us that is the oldest one in the state. And so we had over 2,000 students participate in homecoming last year events. We had our president and members from the senior roundtable serving breakfast as a study event for our late night finals event for students last year, where we provided breakfast until 11:30 or midnight. We had all kinds of events in the student center, and we had over 1,000 students turn up for that. So the energy is there, and they want to be present. Next slide, please. So in terms of elevating student voices, we know that I will always say, we never give voice to people. People always have voice. What we can do is help amplify. Right, students know their own experience, they know their lived reality, and they have the collective wisdom of the communities from which they come. All we can do is help elevate. So last year, Student Affairs created an innovative experience with partnering with Dining Services and our Husky Community Gardens, and we created dinners called Conversations That Matter. The president, the provost, senior leadership, college deans participated in many of these, and they had themes. And so maybe one night it was with the College of Business students, and they talked about their experiences as a scholar and as a Husky. They talked about, one night it was with our international students, our graduate students. And so what we did was we have the senior leadership move from table to table, and we get to really listen. The students stay at the same tables, and we get to listen and check in with all the students. And then we collect the data and listen to what we hear. We heard about what it's like living in DeKalb. We heard what it's like about their experiences on this campus and what about their experiences in their academic career. And so it was an exciting piece to be a part of. Next slide, please. We know that the president and this leadership team has prioritized our revitalization of Greek life. Like I said yesterday, we had nearly 500 Greeks show up to support our students for move-in. As soon as the cars pulled up, they were on those cars unloading. And so we have made a commitment that we know students can be stretched and grow in tremendous ways in Greek life through a positive experience. And that means that you challenge them, you set expectations, and you support them. You also let them know you care, and that they matter, and that they have the opportunity to grow, and that there will be mistakes that happen. But our goal is never to cut someone off at the knees. Our goal is to make sure that we understand the educational environment that we're in, and we learn and we grow together. And so what I've been really pleased about, and you know, I've worked for different universities, and I've never seen a university so committed to wanting to show up and to impress the importance that a Greek tradition can have. And so I'm grateful. I'm grateful to be in this environment. I hosted 8 dinners last year with our executive leaders from our councils. The president and the chief strategist and I hosted a dinner for task force members and listened to what their recommendations and their thoughts were. We partnered with athletics to provide 2 mental health trainings and stress management trainings that had over 700 students, Greek life and athletes, attend. We're bringing in a nationally recognized hazing prevention specialist in September, who has done tremendous work and written so much around this, and who will also be doing a leadership development session, because again, I don't want this viewed as hazing, this is what we're talking about. We need to do leadership development. And so they will do leadership development, and we will do the risk management pieces as well. We are developing FSL advisory boards where we are working with our university foundation in partnership with our president's office and myself on identifying alumni who could come in and work and actually meet in person with our Greeks, with the different councils, and just say, hey, this is what it means to have responsible fiscal management. This is what it means to network. Let me show you how the network has, because we know you get the network that you build. And so showing up and how to network. This is what it means when your gut is telling you something is wrong and you need to learn to listen to intention and intuition and how to think about risk management in different ways. So we're identifying alumni to come in and help us with that, and we're excited about that. We had a 7% increase in our membership last year, and we look forward to increased membership this year. We have we partnered with our NPHC organization, Kappa Alpha Psi, last year, and our athletics department, and we hosted an event. And our NPHC is our historically Black fraternities and sororities, which also have smaller numbers. But with that small but mighty, the grit and the resilience of that group, we hosted an event at the Convocation Center that had 2,000 attendees come to it. And so when you see the pride and the work, students want to rise to the occasion. They want to meet the challenges. We successfully relocated Tugs to Greek Row. We had our trustee come and join us at Tugs last year. We had over 1,000 people participate in Tugs, from our women's Tugs and our men's Tugs.
I wanted to jump on the rope.
Listen, we're going to let you do that. We'll let you, you may not jump, but next year we'll let you get in there somehow.
Yeah.
And I think...
Yeah, he could have used the help.
Right. And I think I heard you volunteer. You said you wanted to do an alumni tug. You wanted to get out there and give it a go?
I'm done with that.
Okay.
I did that once. Not a good idea.
Next slide, please. What I will say, so we're, again, and then one more slide, please. One of the most exciting pieces is that we, next slide. One of the most exciting pieces is that we have partnered with our foundation, our alumni, we've partnered with our president's office, we've got great partnership with the city mayor, the city of DeKalb, and we recently worked with our city council members where we were given unanimous support to move forward with purchasing land to build and to create a Greek Life Center. We know that over half of our councils are councils of students who have historically been placed in the margins. They do not have chapter houses. And we know that having a center can serve as an anchor to provide study space, academic space, connection and belonging, alumni space for returning alumni. We also know that this gives us a chance to have a greater presence and show up in powerful ways in the community. Our plan is to serve as tutors, open it up to serving tutoring for the school students in the community, creating programs and projects to create spaces and places to invite and work hand in hand with the community and to have a presence in the northern Antiglen North neighborhood. So we're really excited about that. Thank you. Next slide. Now, one of the things I'm most proud of is because we know that everything has to be geared to creating academic success, right, and helping our students, because what we understand in student affairs is that when a student who may not have the support from home, who may be first generation, who may have never heard anything about FAFSA or Pell Grants or anything like that, when they have the courage to apply to NIU, we have to have the courage to hold the mirror in front of ourselves and do everything we can to ask ourselves the hard questions. Are we doing enough? What can we do more? And how do we serve as barrier removers for these students to get them across the stage? And so with our amazing partners in various departments, in academic affairs, in enrollment management, one of the things that I've talked to my team about, you will understand how to use data. And I want you to know, for instance, if we have a veteran student center, how many of our veterans in that center are first generation, underrepresented, Pell eligible? And then how are we creating programs specifically tailored to help the academic success of those students? And so, yes, we will do the feel-good programs, we'll do the sense of belonging stuff, but we have to also be geared about what are we doing to move the needle on retention. And so, for instance, we, you know, through best efforts, and you know this university does a lot of best practice and efforts, but sometimes students just, can't figure it out. If you don't know how to work through a big system, you don't know. And so we noticed, housing staff noticed that in the first week of January, we had 684 students who were not re-enrolled for the spring semester, first week of January, because of holds or whatever the case may be. We quickly got on the phone and circled around with campus partners and first year advising in our communications department with our the provost leadership team. And we created a group that began very intentional work on calling, working on creating one-stop shops to help students identify what are the barriers. And then I said, you will assign staff to be this person's point person. And they will help get that. I don't want someone to say, go to the office. I want you to say, I'm gonna help you get there. I'm going to call a staff member in that office and they will help you resolve this. So from the first week of January with 684 unenrolled living in housing, by the third week we had that number whittled down to 51 and that we had them re-enrolled. And so that's what it's about. That's what this place is about. In the spring, we learned so we didn't want that to happen again. And so my team and I partnered with our campus colleagues again, and we created 20 in-person sessions in the residence halls and in the student center around what it means to have a hold, or what does it mean to, what is preventing you from registering, how are these things happen, and then these are the staff that are your point people. We then did 5 virtual sessions. We also did, we noticed that our colleagues in the provost office said that students were having a hard time with registration or reminding or getting registered or just following up on it. And so we did 10 in-person sessions in the halls and in the student center around what does registration look like. We brought laptops. We had the student, don't go away. You're going to do this now. Sit beside us. We're going to walk you through registration, and this is what it looks like. We also did 5 virtual sessions. And so that is what it means to take an intentional approach and to make sure that we all have skin in the game around student support, success, and retention. Next slide, please. Next slide. Our Center for Student Assistance, if you're not familiar with it, is a really powerful place that serves as a one-stop shop and can be an introduction for all things kind of catch-all. We've seen students say they had questions about financial aid. We've seen students who had questions about, I'm lonely. We've seen students who had questions about food insecurity, housing insecurity. Our food pantry is operated out of this space. We also have a really powerful program around making sure that we connect folks with who are struggling academically and with a sense of belonging and identity. And so this team has done a remarkable job on thinking about the ways that we are intentional, and that's the word, intentional with this work. So next slide, please. One of the strategies, and we can go one more. One of the strategies was that we have, the team in our Center for Student Assistance has hired peer academic coaches. We have partnered with academic colleges to see what do we need to help train students to help our students with their identities as scholar. How do we help them navigate this, the bureaucratic system of a big campus? How do we help them with the belonging, sense of belonging work? And so through the use of Navigate, which is a tool that we use here on this campus, for instance, we had 700, the Center for Student Assistance had 700 pings or notifications. So a faculty member, if a student is not attending class, has stopped attending class or hasn't turned in an assignment, or a financial aid person has said this person is struggling with financial aid, is there anything that we can help out with? We receive 700 alerts with that around the start of the semester of either students not attending class, not attending class regularly, not turning in assignments, or feeling lonely. And so then what that allowed is our academic coaches met with them virtually, text them, or met with them in person, and then our housing staff and I and some of my leadership team here, we went door to door. And this is not trying to be intrusive, but we have to be intentional. I call it intentional work. We knocked on doors, we gave them a coupon for Starbucks, and we said, we want to take you for coffee. Let's see what's happening here, and let's resolve what the issue is. And so we need you to know you matter. And so you not attending class, we recognize that, and we need to get you back in class. How can we help that? And so this is some really powerful work that our work on retention that our Center for Student Assistance, along with our campus partners, has done. Next slide, please.
Hey, Clint, what's Hope Chicago Scholars? What is that?
Hope Chicago is a scholarship program that works to identify different campuses for students who, typically it will be students who are the most pressed into the margins. We have students who are high Pell eligibility, students who are first generation, students who are underrepresented and underserved. And so thinking about how we bring them into the campus, into the ecosystem of NIU, and then creating a safety net around, wrapping our arms metaphorically around them and seeing how do we usher them through and get them connected in meaningful ways to help ensure their success and access to a campus of this size.
Okay, I had heard of it before, but I just wanted to have it clarified. I know Veronica knows all of this.
It's a foundation-based program. Think of it as Rockford Promise for Chicago Public Schools.
Okay. All right, thank you.
And then, Braven. So I'm excited. We are excited about Braven. We have such a great opportunity. When I think about the story of NIU, we think about research, access, we think about social mobility, and we have the true exciting opportunity to live those pieces out through this Braven program. And so what Braven does, it is a career accelerator that gets our students connected to folks who are in various leadership positions, who are leveled up, who, if you're listening to our students, they'll be like, oh, they're making boss moves, they're making money moves. So we find folks who represent a variety of identities. We represent folks who are at the top of their game, and we get them partnered in meaningful ways with corporations, companies, field work. The group last year did their capstone to the class was with our Chicago Bulls, and they spent a lot of time at the Chicago Bulls offices working on a meaningful project. But really what this is about, this is more than a class. This is the opportunity for us to live out our value proposition to students as an institution, to embolden them around seeing themselves in work and knowing that they have a place at the table and knowing that they have a right to show up at the table. And so this program is also more than a class. It's about mentoring. We have one of our students, we have our trustee who is a mentor for this program. We have folks that are helping students who typically have not seen themselves represented show up in ways and be supported by folks with similar stories and backgrounds. And it's a beautiful story. What we're doing in student affairs and with our partners in the provost area and with our outreach partners and other folks, we are working to collaborate and create a sense of identity for these Braven scholars to have by hosting events. Last year, we hosted an etiquette dinner where we invited alumni from the Chicagoland area. We had alumni come in, over 47 alumni came in, participated in this dinner. We had over 80 students participate from the Braven program. And they did first impressions, interviewing, kind of giving quick feedback, networking, this is your elevator pitch, let me help you on this. And the alumni loved coming back into this space. The students loved meeting the alumni. What we know is that we're gearing up the excitement for this. We have plans to bring our Braven students onto the field for a football game and in the president's skybox. Sorry, I haven't let you know about that yet, but it's coming. And we're excited about the fact that we have an event next week where we're creating mocktails. Our dining services are creating a menu of mocktails, and we're going to do paint and sip for folks to get to know each other and to engage with alumni and mentors and the students that are working through that. So we're excited. So thank you for that. Next slide. And then I just want to end with this. I'm excited about this work. So I apologize if I was overenthusiastic, but I take the work very seriously, and my team takes the work very seriously. And so again, it's about creating a culture of care. It's about making sure that we utilize a we over me framework. And in student affairs, we always know that our next has to be greater than our now. Our students deserve that. We also know that I talk to my team about this has to be based in pedagogy, right? So we often refer to critical hope pedagogy. And the thing is, we know about critical hope. There are, we've come through multiple pandemics, racial injustice, COVID-19, and we know that folks have come into our campus brokenhearted. But what I know for certain is that brokenhearted people are broken open, not apart. And we also know that with critical hope framework, there are enemies of hope and there are allies of hope. Isolation is the enemy of hope, and community is the ally of hope. And so I could not imagine a better community to work in than NIU. Student Affairs is grateful for your leadership. Student Affairs is grateful for the partnerships in this space, and I thank you for your time and talent. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. I know we have some questions. I'm going to kick us off just with some questions.
I'm going to grab some water real quick.
Okay, go ahead. And I'll talk while you grab your water. One of the things that selfishly, after graduating some number of years ago now, my God, three or almost four decades ago, One of the things I've learned after leaving NIU is really my responsibility to reach out and to help others and to bring them along and to see if I can give them opportunities
Absolutely.
That either I had or did not have because of my position, right?
Absolutely.
What are we doing to for the folks? I agree, we need that sense of belonging because we want them to stay. Mm-hmm. But also in the same breath, we also have to teach them that they have a responsibility to mm-hmm. give back. You know, many of the kids coming out of the Chicago public school systems have a responsibility to do so many hours of community service, et cetera. Mm-hmm. How does that extend into the university world?
Absolutely.
And how are we teaching our students that they have a responsibility not only to this community, but to the larger community, DeKalb, Sycamore, whatever that is?
Right. And the thing that no one gets there alone, right? And so someone held the door open for you, someone held the door open for me. And so we teach our students about their responsibility of holding the door open as well. For instance, we had an NIU Cares Day last year where we had over 200 students go into the community and provide service at 8 different service locations, ranging from elementaries where we read to students, where we helped teachers in their classroom, where we are at the YMCA where our fraternity students, many of them and some of our other organizations, built equipment, where we partnered with DeKalb Community Gardens and helped them go. And I'm gonna say that like I don't really get in the dirt, like tend a row or hoe a garden or something like that, like do something like that. Mm-hmm. We did that, it was cute. And till, there we go, till. So we did all that. And so that's the piece, is that there has to be, we help them understand that with a college experience, comes great responsibility. And so our Fraternity and Sorority Life students dedicated over 12,000 hours last year in service projects within the community and nationally. Mm-hmm. So a part of this leadership development program that I'm excited about that we kicked off in August is one of the sessions is on resiliency and community engagement. And so we're working on making sure that they have the tools and the knowledge and the clear and direct understanding that this is a responsibility, yes. and that you have a responsibility to be an example and to model that example.
Yes, because I believe in that. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
I was just going to add to that, because I think it's such a great question, Trustee Gales. And I want to say that when you look at interviews that are done with our incoming students and the things that attract them to NIU versus things that attract students to other public universities, we tend to be differentiated by the fact that the students who come here want to live and work with people who have different lived experiences than their own, and the fact that they come in with an orientation towards serving and elevating their communities. Mm-hmm. Our students, in general, didn't look as community service as something to dress up their application for college. They look at it as something that comes from the heart. We have 3/4 of our students are first in their families to go to college. Their hopes of those families and communities are invested in them, and they carry yes. that burden. Yes. They take yes. that very seriously. Absolutely. But it also translates to a desire to try to give back yeah. as soon and as much as possible.
Yeah. See, I don't want them to say, I made it, I don't want to turn back and
Absolutely.
Look at that again.
And to President Freeman's point, we know that that sense of community agency comes with this, because we know that in terms of cultural capital that our students bring to this campus,
yes.
right? They are not just learning from us, we are learning just as much from them and the collective wisdom from the communities in which they come.
Yes.
And so helping our students to understand how to leverage, let's knock imposter syndrome on its head, right? That tiny voice that tells you are not enough, you are not worthy, you don't belong here. Let's knock that on its head and think about everything that your grandmothers taught you, everything that your auntie across the street, yes. everything that your uncle or your father who got up and worked multiple jobs taught you. That while we have families who may not feel comfortable in the formal sense of being on a campus, the collective wisdom and power we're helping students to understand, that wisdom is so generative and it's so important that they bring to this campus.
You just described Montel Gills in 1981, 82. That was me. One other question for you, because I didn't hear mentioned in your presentation, was about intramural sports. Can you talk about how that's playing a role in student engagement?
Absolutely. So we have that's in the Division of Athletics, and so we partner with them We have a close working relationship, but we have, in fact, I just had a meeting with a student who is on the intramural hockey team. I had a meeting with him last week. So we have multiple organizations. I think there's like 120 specific for intramurals. And we work closely to make sure they have spaces and places, help them reserve spaces to play, help them, and we go in and do leader. What I will say about our connection is that our student involvement director and our teams in the student involvement go in and do training and development sessions for team dynamics and working around sometimes, and we talked about the restorative justice circles and conduct earlier, so sometimes when there's conflict or when students make the decisions that are not as successful as we hope, we brought in some of those organizations around the restorative justice pieces.
Very good. Hey, before I get to the other questions of our trustees, I want to let the record reflect that Trustee Herrera has also joined us at the meeting. Do we have any other questions from the trustees? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, just a couple quick comments. But first, wow, is it hot outside? But I do want to applaud all the work.
Pardon me, that's a meteorologist down here. So.
Yes, yes.
Why? Why is
absolutely.
It?
Absolutely.
Oh, I wish I could go into detail about that. But I just want to start off by saying I do applaud the work that you guys are doing. Just seeing the dorm move in yesterday in the time that I was there was something that I didn't get to experience as a freshman, so it was good to be able to be a part of other students' experiences with that. It was 98, 99 degrees at peak, but it didn't stop anyone. Everyone still had smiles on their faces. They were willing to help out everyone, and it was a very good atmosphere. So I do applaud you guys on that. Two more things. One on the leadership engagement. I thought when you touched on that, that was also a good thing. Leadership for college students especially. They need someone right next to them to guide them when they're going off track, because we're going to mess up. It's going to happen. As long as we have someone to advise us and put us back on our feet and set us in the right direction, that's really all that matters. And that's what we want to come out of leadership. And then your comment about we're focusing on the next greater than the now, that struck me well, because I had a teacher, sophomore, junior year of high school, still has a quote that rings in my head every single day. You could have short-term gratification or long-term satisfaction. And the long-term satisfaction is the end goal that NIU definitely wants to have. Great work.
I appreciate that. And our next always has to be greater than our now. And I want to just give you a shout out. I've really enjoyed working closely with you last year and your chapter in fraternity. You've been a great sense of joy, and y'all have not kept me up at night. I appreciate that. So it's been a pleasure.
Any other comments? Yes.
I guess I'm thinking somewhat philosophically, but I'm mindful that there could be some significant disadvantages and advantages to a determination in this process of sort of what is centralized versus what is decentralized. So I think in terms, for example, of the tremendous role that involvement in a student organization might play in a student's commitment to NIU and commitment to their own continuation of their academic programming. And do you think about sort of how much do you let the student organization do with respect to that work versus how you utilize resources to sort of bring some of that into the sort of the center of campus and programming that impacts many, many students. And then I also see that cropping up with the re-enrollment work that you were describing. And I don't want to sound like I'm not supportive of it, because I am very much, but it strikes me as potentially hazardous if a peer academic support mentor or something were to be working with a student on re-enrollment, or even someone who isn't necessarily close to their academic program working with them on re-enrollment, where they might sort of schedule themselves in a way that has them having to repeat things, or maybe they're not as capable of learning about potential substitutions.
Absolutely.
Et cetera, et cetera. So I think you know where I'm going.
Absolutely. And to your point with that, Trustee, what I want to make clear is that these peer academic coaches are meant to really be peer mentors. What we don't ever have a student coach in the driver's seat saying, let me enroll you or let me tell you about course selection. What we will say, we have these peer mentors trained very carefully and specifically to talk about, they know who the contacts are in the advising centers. They know when enrollment registration dates are. They know how to get a student to the writing lab or to a math lab. And so thinking, when I talk about academic success pieces, it's helpful to have a student who might have a shared identity to give them this question saying, listen, I was with you as well, or I struggled as well. Because we also selected students who have overcome. And so that's the peer mentor piece comes in with that. But we're working, when we talk about re-enrollment and the course registration, we're working with our provost area to make sure that we have them connected into the spaces and places with the trained professional staff that make those decisions around that. We are just trying to be a vehicle to get folks aware, to engage in the conversation, to think about it, and to help move our students into those spaces. In terms of the decentralization, centralization piece, I think it's a both and. I think that we have to allow our student groups to, because we know, to experience leadership on their own, right? Because we know that there is many lessons that come from failure, and we actually know that failure is really just life telling you to move in a different direction. But we know that we also need to help teach folks, if we're thinking about how to engage folks to be resilient, to have grit, to look at community engagement, there are certain tools that we can place in the tool belt, centralized, to help our students better set them up for success. So maybe they can have less of the challenges or less of the stumbles. And so I think it's a both-and approach.
But you know what I...
And I just want to jump in as well on the re-enrollment piece. Because the connection to the academic colleges and the programs is important, we want to make sure that students are re-enrolling for the right classes. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that we've noted and that data bears out is that oftentimes students will respond to a peer who will remind them they need to register or that they need to address a hold, whereas they may not respond to a faculty member who reaches out to them or their advisor. Mm-hmm. And so we find that sometimes the students serve as a really valuable bridge to kind of help get the students on the right path. But we absolutely want to make sure that they are working with their advisors so that they're on the correct degree path and that they're moving forward efficiently.
We're all going to chime in here because we all care so much about having our students succeed. But when Provost Elish Piper was in the College of Education, they spent a lot of time actually asking their students what the obstacles were. And one of the findings that they made, and that was validated across campus, is sometimes it's not that students don't know where the support services are, it's that they're just afraid to walk in the door alone. Mm-hmm. And that's a place where peer mentors can really make a difference. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yes.
Juan, just thank you for the presentation. I really appreciate like your multi-tiered strategy of thinking of the systems, the tools, like navigate, yeah. And then going as far down to the ground as knocking on doors, because I think all of that is so important. But just one follow-up question, and then I have a separate question. I'm not sure if you said how many peer mentors you have, and what are your plans to grow or expand it?
So right now we have 6 peer mentors. Mm-hmm. We absolutely would love to grow and expand it. Like I said, we've worked with our college partners and our deans to really think about how we train them, mm-hmm. and get them really embedded in specific training. We worked with our academic diversity and equity inclusion partners, mm-hmm. think about what it means to be culturally relevant and to be responsive in ways that are important and meaningful. And so we want to scale up that program because we've seen the tremendous numbers that we had in the spring, just in March, April, and May alone, our peer coaches had over 800 interactions with students. Yeah. 800 in those 3 months. And so we know it works. And so we want to scale that up. And so we'll be looking that's on the plan. University goals, here we go, we're doing it.
That's fantastic.
Engagement and more equitable experience.
Right, I mean, research says it works,
absolutely.
Right? So, I mean, one thing, I'm sure you're already considering it, but going through work study too,
yes.
Right?
So can I, so the exciting thing about that, we do a lot of, again, I'm a little nerd up here, nerding out, but the work study piece, I will even just tell you, so we use work study all the time, and in dining services, we hired 300, and I believe it was like 375 students that were involved in work study, and our dining services staff gave them a requirement saying, if you, we will teach you, our dining services staff came in and developed a leadership model. Because sometimes you think, I'm working in a kitchen. No, there's leadership skills around customer service, around engagement. How do you deal with leaders that come into your presence? And so they do a monthly training on leadership development with them, said that we said, you, by the time you leave this, you will have leadership skills. So don't just think of this as working in a dining hall. The other thing I'm really proud about that, when we identified the our work study students that we hired for that program, we also, dining services also committed to giving them scholarships. Yeah. And so those students receive a scholarship if they stay with us through the academic semester. They receive a scholarship for this fall, and then they receive a scholarship in the spring. So we know it's hard work and it's hot work, and it's not like you can sit at a desk and maybe do your assignments. But so we want to make sure that we're providing scholarships to help support.
I mean, I could talk to you for hours about this, but I won't, I promise. but I am really excited about this, and I think your like integration of student leadership and mentorship, I think will really. I'm just excited to see where that goes, because I am a huge believer in peer mentors, for all of the reasons that we've already talked about. My other question is. I'm also, outside of just peer mentorship, a real advocate of nonprofit partnerships, mm-hmm. because I think that it does add capacity, right? In terms of just the care team, absolutely. Right? The culture of care, mm-hmm. the just culture and community, as well as just our staff, right?
Absolutely. Like,
so I am curious to know more about Hope and Braven, even if it's just a little bit, because it takes time to grow these partnerships.
Absolutely.
And it takes time for them to really seep into
and to develop into the culture
and in
right?
exactly,
building the identity
exactly.
and the culture. Yes.
But like I believe that over time, like, you know, we
will.
All start it, we win-win. It's win-win,
yeah, absolutely.
Right? Like we learn from like the way that the nonprofit operates.
Absolutely.
With our students and vice versa. And so where are we at this stage? How many students are we serving? How many Hope students are joining us? How many courses do we have in Braven? I just want to have a sense for
so as of the 10th day census, we'll have better numbers at the census date.
Okay.
I thought we started last. You know, I think that I might ask Vice President Jensen to take the microphone, Veronica, to address this, because you know, I think that we have a really wonderful story to tell about what we learned from the Rockford Promise Partnership, how that helped build Chicago Hope's framework, and how the success rates that we've seen skyrocket in Rockford Promise, what it's told us about wraparound services, and how we're using that to improve Chicago Hope.
Yeah, so last fall was our first Hope Chicago cohort. We had 63 students that enrolled this first year. That was the University of Illinois Chicago had the most. They had a little over 100. We were at the second highest amount of students. As of the first year and this year, there's still only 5 high schools throughout CPS. I know that they are hoping to expand. I mean, ultimately, they would love to have this available to all of CPS, but they specifically chose these 5 schools knowing that college going rates were really low and they wanted to start supporting these students immediately. last year was a bit more of a challenge because the process didn't even begin until about May. So these were high school seniors who many of them had not even really considered at NIU, let alone college or a 4-year college as an option. And so so last year was more of a pilot year, even with our MOU as a pilot. I can tell you this year, we're expecting about the same number. So I think last I had heard, somewhere around 60 of our students are enrolled for courses for this fall. To the president's point, the relationship and partnership that we had set up already with Rockford Promise, not only was something that we knew benefited from our standpoint. But actually, Hope Chicago, when we initially met with them, the provost at the time, Beth Ingram, the president, and I actually went and met with them very, very early on. And they actually utilized our MOU with Rockford Promise as a template in how all of the institutions created the MOUs with Hope Chicago, because they saw what we had been doing with Rockford Promise as such a good, successful model. So again, I think last year was really our ramping up year. It was amazing the amount of work that their team did, especially in the spring semester, once we kind of got things up and going. I'm really excited to see with their team working with the Hope Chicago students right off the bat in the first of the semester, and other things that we just have in place now that we did not necessarily have in place because it was just too quick to put things together. I'm excited for the future of that.
And then just, you know, going to what you were saying about the partnerships develop and learn over time. We have an unbelievably impressive academic performance record with Rockford Promise right now. And that didn't happen the first year. It happened in year two, and it happened going forward because the external organization learned about NIU. We learned how to leverage the relationships, so the services that we brought were synergistic. We learned how to match support with accountability in a way that worked for the students. And those lessons inform the kind of things that Clint Michael talked about doing, but they're gonna help with Hope Chicago too. The first year, as Saul described it, the wagon was being built as it hit the road, and that meant that it didn't weather the bumps as much as it could have, but we are really excited. The folks here, as well as the folks who set up Hope Chicago, did an unbelievable job working to bring those students here and to try to support them. And yet, in doing that, we learned that sometimes we should change the timing of when we give them certain resources. Sometimes we need to check in a different way. And so I completely agree with you that in a couple of years, we're going to be utilizing those partnerships to an even greater extent. And the partnerships and the partner organizations will be able to co-evolve, really, with the students at the center.
Just really quickly, I want to tell you about a Hope experience we had yesterday. We met a Hope student. Dr. Sumner and I were in the residence hall yesterday. We met a Hope student yesterday with his mother and father. The mother did not speak English. Dr. Sumner is fluent in Spanish, was able to speak to the mother. I spoke to the father. The student was unloading his car and in the residence hall in a shirt and tie and slacks. And the father told me, and this brought me to tears, he said, "We told Miho, first impressions are so important. He's on a college campus. He has to make first impressions." And the father told me, "I've never owned a tie in my life." And we saved up to get him the shirt and the tie.
Stop it, stop it.
And I was in tears.
You're bringing me to tears here.
And the mother was in tears. And so we both gave the family and our student our cell phone numbers. And we said, "Your first impressions have just catapulted this young man to everything. He's going to have two vice presidents and a president and everyone else in his corner." And we took them to lunch. We drove them to lunch yesterday because we wanted to say, "You, two university presidents right here, this dude is not alone." We told him, I said, "You are your parents' wildest dreams. And you've got this, and we've got you." And that's what NIU does. We help remind folks, students have everything they need. Students have what they need inside. We help elevate and amplify, and that's what this institution does. Thank you.
Careful, because you gave your number. Somebody did that with my parents when they dropped me off at college. My parents were calling them at like 11 at night. "Where's my daughter?"
I had three text messages already. So
the first year she was provost at the University of Wisconsin, Donna Shalala gave her cell phone number to 1,000 parents and families. She did not do that in year two, and she changed her cell phone number.
Yeah, it was the same time.
I'm gonna cut, because you know our meetings don't normally go this long, do they?
And
no.
I apologize.
Was good stuff, and I thank you for on behalf of the board for bringing it. And when I say bringing the commitment, the passion, and the care, because people understand when you care about them, and I think you're on the right track, as well as many of your colleagues on this campus are on the right track to keep, because, and you all know this, I think I'm a living example of that. What you're doing today will bear fruit for the next 30 years. Okay? So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Are there any other matters to come before the committee? Hearing none. The next meeting day for the Academic Affairs, Student Affairs, and Personnel Committee will be November 9th, 2023. May I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Ms. Hannon, will you please call the roll?
Trustee Rita Appas? Trustee Dennis Farsima?
Yes.
Committee Vice Chair John Butler?
Yes.
Committee Chair Montel Gales?
Yes.
Trustee Veronica Herrero?
Yes.
Trustee Tim Moore?
Yes.
Board Chair Eric Wasserman.
Yes.
All right, we have a motion that has passed. This concludes the Academic Affairs, Student Affairs, and Personnel Committee meeting. We will reconvene the Research and Innovation, Legal, and Legislative Affairs Committee at
9:50. Take a 10-minute break.
All right, with that said, that's it. Oh.